Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I have some things I want to say to you personally. Are you ready? So I'm praying you're leaning in. If you're doing something, maybe stop. Just give me a few minutes here to talk to you without distraction. Because what I have to say to you is incredibly important. You are someone God truly, deeply loves. You're someone God wants to heal and restore and strengthen and revive. God wants to bless the world through you more than you want Him to work through you. And if you'll dare to trust His timing and His ways in your life, trust His leadership in your life, He'll open doors no man can close. When the time is right, He'll move mountains that have long stood in your way. He'll bring down those Jericho walls that have kept you from your next place of promise. And He can do all of that and more. And He wants to. Do you believe it? You know, you and I have the power to change a person's life with our words. And not just positive words, biblical, life-giving words. And it's why it's my great honor and blessing to regularly bring back our friend, Pastor Alan Wright, who joins me today on the show to draw from his amazing book and his life, because he lives this, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. It's a hardcover book. It oozes and drips with joy and blessing and encouragement. He writes this, and I pray you hear it. God doesn't want you to strive in search of blessing. He wants you to thrive in the power of His blessing. And every time Pastor comes on, we do this at the end of the show, and I haven't asked you, Pastor, but I'm thinking you're generous with your heart, so I'm thinking you'll do it anyway. At the end of every show that Pastor Alan is on, he speaks a blessing over the men, and he speaks a blessing over the women. And it's really up to him, and between him and God, what specific blessing or specific scenario he'll feel led to speak to. But I pray if you're not able to listen to the show while it's live, come back and get it on podcast so you can listen all the way to the end, because it always is a sacred time. Quick announcement before we get Pastor Alan on. If you've got a prodigal or a loved one who's far from God, we would love to encourage you. You just need to know you're not alone. I've recorded 15 audio clips. They're about 2 to 3 minutes apiece. We can text those to your phone for free. You'll get about 2 to 3 a week over the next several weeks. I talk about forgiveness, about caring for your soul, about never giving up hope, stuff like that. Text the word heart to receive your text for free at 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Alan Wright's the lead pastor of Enola Church in North Carolina. He's the author of several books, a popular conference speaker, and a host of a daily 30-minute radio program syndicated on more than 400 stations where he encourages listeners through the good news of the gospel. And we love him. Pastor Alan, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much. I love being with you. It's an honor.
Well, I know you're a busy guy, so that you would carve out time for us and to invest in our listeners always means the world to me. I never take that for granted, and I'm always believing and praying, Pastor, that God's going to replenish the time and give it back to you many times over. So be watching for that, because I think He's going to do that for you.
Thank you. I receive that and agree with it. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you've been on plenty of times to know that we, you know, ask the same question every day. We start out the show with this question. It's just in your own time with the Lord, what's God been talking to you about these days?
Yeah. I've been thinking about prayer a lot lately, Susie, because, of course, there's a National Day of Prayer this week. And our own church, we just had 110 hours of prayer, kind of mirroring the fact that our church is 110 years old. And then we had a big prayer and praise time. And boy, it just, you know, there's nothing like praying that just awakens your thirst for prayer and longing. And so it took me back to a remarkable story from the time of Exodus, when the people of God have their very first battle. And, you know, it's good to pay attention to the first time something's mentioned in the Bible. Some interpreters have said there's a kind of a principle of the first mention, that If God says, let there
Interesting.
be light, that you could be sure that light's going to become an important theme all throughout. And so I like to pay attention the first time something happens. The first time that God speaks to humanity, he blesses them. Well, we ought to pay attention to that,
Come on.
But the first battle they have, it's with the Amalekites. And it's an unprovoked attack of the Amalekites on the people of God. And they are in this fight. So in the first place, let's just be aware, as you are so helpful in teaching a lot about too, Susie, we're in a fight. So we're in a spiritual battle, and they're on their way to the promised land, but it's a fight. And in fact, when they get in the promised land is not a place where there are no battles. The promised land is full of battles. And that's important to know, because I think sometimes people go through struggles and think, well, I just must not be in the will of God. I must be. Well, when the people were smack dab in the middle of Canaan, it was one battle after the other. So the promised land is not pie in the sky in heaven. It's the kingdom of God's at hand, and we're in a spiritual fight. So here's the first battle. And Moses said, you choose some men, go out and fight, and I'll stand on top of the hill with a staff, the staff of God in my hand, that same staff that had been a point of faith contact, that had been lifted up and the Red Sea had parted. I'm going to stand up there with my hands up. And in this famous story, Joshua fought Amalek with the men, and Moses and Aaron and Hur on the top of the hill. And when Moses holds up his hands, Israel's prevailing. When he lowers them, Amalek prevails. And so, there's this picture of this incredible link between the intercession and really the hands lifted is a picture of blessing. So I lift my hands at the end of every worship gathering and extend them towards the congregation, as many have seen pastors do, others do that. And I speak usually the high priestly blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you, and I'm holding my hands up. And I like to remind people, the reason my hands are up like that is it's actually a symbol of what I'd rather do is put my hands on your shoulders individually, look you in the eye, and speak the blessing of God. And so Moses is there, the primary way that Hebrew men prayed, their hands are lifted up, and it's the way of blessing. The very last thing Jesus did, he lifted up his hands and he blessed his disciples and he ascended into heaven. So blessing and prayer from the top of the mountain. And when his hands come down, they are being defeated. And when the hands go up, and so as many people know the story, Aaron and Hur come and hold up his hands. And we have lots of, sermons and talks about how important it is to hold up your pastor's hands. And I'm all for that. I want that. I need Aaron and hers. We all do. But I just, as I got into this beautiful story and how Joshua overwhelmed Amalek, and how much God said, I want this to be a memorial, write it down. And he said, I want to utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. It was one of the most stark statements. And I just dug back into this thing. And I just, two things that I discovered that I think are really worth sharing. And one is that why are this stark statement about Amalek? And you realize that Amalek is the descendant of Esau. And though Esau, the older of the two twins, Jacob and Esau, though he was in the position of primogeniture to receive the blessing by cultural standards, he didn't. Instead, the blessing was given to the younger, undeserving one. And Esau became so embittered by Jacob stealing and deceiving that the Bible says he nourished himself with thoughts of killing Jacob. And it's so interesting, later the writer of Hebrews says, whatever you do, don't become like Esau. Don't let a bitter root spring up and defile many. You would think the Bible might herald, Esau over Jacob. Jacob was a liar and the deceiver, but Jacob wanted the blessing. And in the end, what that was a picture of was grace. And Esau becomes this picture in the Bible of the flesh and trying to live by law and trying to live by bitterness and revenge. And God has prefigured all of this with saying of the Amalekites who bring an unprovoked attack against the people of God. He's like, I want to annihilate any thought of that kind of transactional, religious, and fleshly type of behavior, because I want grace. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau, because of that picture. And I began to see that. And so I'm just looking at this, Susie, and I'm seeing Moses on that hill, and I'm thinking about Moses and who he is. He's the great mediator. He is the great intercessor. He is the one who goes between. He was both Hebrew and Egyptian in a sort. There was no better person to be the go-between. He is the one who is the one bringing revelation and the word to the people of God. And he is in their priest, and he's their prophet. He's on the hill. His hands are there blessing. And when the people of God are agreeing with him and seeing him, Moses' hands are up. The people are prevailing. And there's some kind of mystical partnership between the intercessor and blesser and the people who are in the battle. And I just see this Moses, and I'm heartened by that. But what really heartens me is when I realize Jesus is our better Moses in every way. He is our great high priest, and he is the one who has ascended on high. And Paul says he lives to intercede for us and is
Amazing.
Interceding for us. And so I guess I just want to leave with our listeners this thought today, that you might be in a really severe battle, but Jesus is ascended. And his arms are not going to grow weary. And if we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, there's a kind of partnership with Jesus wherein we are in agreement with him, and he becomes our prayer partner, and we are not in this battle alone. And his arms are lifted, blessing us and interceding for us and triumphing for us and through us. So I would say to somebody, take heart in the spiritual battle. Jesus is praying.
Come
for
on.
You.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Wow, that was worth the whole show right there. And I know there's more to come, but I got to say, two things jumped out at me, Pastor, as you're talking. One is, we can't win our battles without God's blessing. And what often happens in battle is we blame God for the things the devil's guilty of. And then it's like we face God as a foe and not a friend, because we're accusing God and not agreeing with him. But you cannot win your battles without the blessing of God. And I don't think you're going to receive the blessing of God and his mercy and his compassion. He still makes intercession, and he's still in his grace somehow advocates for us. But I don't think you get the fullness of what God wants to bring you if you're facing him as a foe and not a friend. But then when you are in agreement and you're clearly delineating who the enemy truly is, and that God is your father, Jesus is your intercessor, there is a blessing guaranteed in your battles. I don't think there's anything he allows that he doesn't redeem, that you have some kind of takeaway, that you walk away with a richer understanding of who he is or wiser to the enemy's schemes. So I feel like there's these two aspects of blessing regarding our battle that we have to understand. What are your thoughts?
Yes, he is our advocate. We have an advocate and an intercessor. And many years ago, this and thinking of the advocacy of Jesus, I began thinking more of him as my prayer partner. I like to pray with people. I love my individual prayer life, but the praying with people, you know, the power of agreement and faith joined in accord with God's word, and seeing Jesus as a prayer partner. And so this is why our prayer life becomes so powerful, when we are praying the word of God back to God, which is a form of spirit-filled prayer, in my opinion, because the word is God-breathed, infused
right.
with his spirit, every word. So we bring it back to him. Our eyes are on Jesus. We're seeing him interceding for us and with us. And so we have a partnership. And when they saw Moses on the hillside with his arms up, their leader, his arms up, it was a sign of blessedness that it was the will of God for them to win this battle. And I think that's so much of it. Like, so all effective communion and prayer with God is rooted in this deep sense of his assuring us of ultimate victory and of his advocacy and his partnership with us. And so Prayer in that sense is like us agreeing and bringing to God what's already in God's heart, and that it becomes exceedingly powerful in that way. And I was thinking, Susie, about a few years back. There was a lady from Texas that happened to be coming through North Carolina. She said, "Could I meet with you and talk to you about the possibility of doing a conference here in Tyler?" And I said, "Sure." Met her. She led a counseling practice there and wanted to do our Shame Off You conference. And she
Cool.
talked to me about what her dream was there. And she said, "Would you pray about doing this?" And I said, "I don't need to pray about that. I'd love to come do that if we can find the time on the calendar." And the reason I didn't have to think about it was because she was asking me to do what I already live to do. It's what I love to do. It's what I want to do, to watch somebody get healed by the grace of God from the stifling toxic impact of shame and receive blessing instead. I love to do that. So she's not trying to ask me to do something that is against my nature, but something that's with it, you know. So Moses has lifted his hands up, and Jesus has got his hands up over this, and it's like he's wanting to bless. And so when you see him as friend, not foe, you're agreeing that in his heart is blessing, and there's no shortage, and he's perfect love, and this is who Jesus is. So this fuels our prayer life, and it fuels our faith when we're in the battle.
Wow. We're going to pause. When we come back, Pastor, I want to know how and when you came to truly believe enough to receive God's blessing and what hindered you to that point. And friend, as you're listening, I want you to think about that in your own story. Maybe you're still blocked from being able to fully open your hands, open your eyes, open your mouth to say, "I want everything, God. Fill every part of me." Maybe you're there, maybe you're not. But can you discern maybe what the hindrances are if you're not there yet? I feel like I still got a ways to go. I feel like God keeps showing me blockages in my soul and in my story that still feel truer than His Word. I hate that that's true, but it is. But I want everything He has for me. So, Pastor, on the other side, if you would share maybe roadblocks leading up to that point, but then what was the turning point where you suddenly felt like, "I'm going to receive everything He has for me"? Talking to author and pastor Alan Wright, his amazing book is titled The Power to Bless: How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Where do I begin? We are a listener-supported ministry, and God is moving in and through Faith Radio all over to the ends of the earth because friends like you sowed some seeds and dared to step into a story, into a harvest that's bigger than you are. With all my heart, I say thank you. And friend, if you listen and you love the ministry of Faith Radio, which you've not given yet, there's still time. You can text the word GIVE to 877-933-2484 or give safely online at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. This is a special treat today. Every time we get to talk to Pastor Alan Wright, souls get restored and healed. It's always this rich, healing balm of a time. Pastor Alan Wright has written an amazing book, a book that he really lives, The Power to Bless: How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. Fantastic book. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So, Pastor, you know, the first section of your book is titled Believing the Blessing. And so I would really love to know how you came to truly believe and receive the blessings of God. And then what hindered you up to that point?
Well, as you were saying before break, it is a process, and I think I'm still continuing. For sure, I'm continuing. And I think we don't know, blind spots by very nature, we're blind to them. And so often the things that we're believing that are wrong, we just think it's true. And so a lot of these wrong beliefs are the things that are shaping and blocking us from receiving blessing. And that's been a process for me. I would say the journey for me really began many years ago. And my wife and I, we'd gotten away for a little weekend away from the kids. It was beautiful. We're staying in a nice place and had a leisure breakfast. And I was just reading the newspaper. And on a pretty morning. I remember where I was sitting at this beautiful hotel outside reading the paper. And it was a time in which Saddam Hussein had been ousted, but had not yet been captured. But people had begun to believe that indeed he would be captured. And so the Iraqi citizens were beginning to be a little bit more free. And this was an article about the Iraqi national soccer players and how terrorized they had felt because Saddam's nephew, Uday Hussein, would come before the games and would threaten them with punishment if they lost against key international rivals.
My
And indeed,
goodness.
after losses, they would take them to something that was like a prison camp and sometimes beat them. And
Wow.
this one soccer player who was their leader, best player in the nation, he said in the interview, he said, "I wanted to quit. I would cry before and after games, but they threatened to harm my family if I quit. So I
Wow.
couldn't quit." And then it was this statement, odd, it's odd how the Lord will speak to you, right? You never know when it's coming. But he said, "I wanted to play for the love of the game, not for the fear of Saddam."
Wow.
And Susie, when I read that, I just somehow the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this question came up in my soul, like, are you living your life for the love and the joy of the game? Or is there something in you that's like a hidden tyrant that in some way feels threatening, that if you don't perform well enough? And it's like I could
Wow.
not stop thinking about those players that were a world away from me, and yet something inside of my own soul felt like I identified with him.
Wow.
And I realized that somewhere in the brokenness of having a dad leave home when I was in the fourth grade, and then when he did come home, he had alcohol struggles and then eventually left again, and how I didn't know as a fourth grader that there's some kind of vow inside of me that's at work saying, if I make straight A's, if I perform better, maybe my father will be proud of me. Maybe then he'll come home. Maybe we'll be back together again. I didn't know that. Children don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to find a way. And somehow sitting there on that bench reading the paper about those soccer players, and I began to cry. And I thought, there's something inside of me that's not right, that is motivating me more out of you better be performing or else you won't really be loved. And it set me on a pathway to learn what shame is. And for a long time in my life, I studied and learned, and I began talking to counselor friends, and I began realizing how much shame is at the root of so much, not just our performance and perfectionism, but of our anxieties, this huge anxiety of, I don't feel like I measure up, but I need to measure up. And if I can't measure up, what then? And how will I ever know if I've ever done enough? And when any of that gets into our thoughts of the gospel and into our relationship with God, if there's any part of that that gets in there, it becomes this massive block to receiving the unfettered and unmerited blessing of God. Because blessing, like all grace, is absolutely a gift. And if we live in any way that says, in a shame-based thought pattern, I've got to measure up in order to be blessed, then will we forever be blocking the blessing? But what
Wow.
blessing is it's an extension of the favor and vision and love of God over our lives before we have proven anything. And so it was the healing, the beginning of the healing of shame, that root of shame that I began to just discover. And there were times, Susie, where, like, gushing euphoric experiences of the Spirit, where I felt the exhilarating presence of His grace like never before, and it just would heal me like God doing surgery. And then there were just times that I just pursued. I wanted to uncover every lie of shame. And I wanted to minister to others, helping to release them from those same lies. And I discovered strongholds, like a house of thoughts that was built upon foundational lies, and all of that in coming to alignment with the Word of God. And then it begins just exploding in your consciousness when you read the Word, how you see that this is God's interaction, that He blessed Adam and Eve before they were productive. Then He said productive. And I realized I had it all backwards. I thought, I need to be productive, then I'll be blessed. And it actually ironically started with reading about Iraqi soccer players who finally were coming out of their places of hiding and admitting that they lived in fear of a tyrant. And I admitted I had a hidden tyrant called shame, and I wanted it overthrown, and I wanted it all gone. And I really, really thought it would be worth whatever it took to get there. And that's been my journey.
Wow, Pastor, of all the times I've had you on, I haven't heard this, and I'm just stunned. And I know people are resonating. You've got a hidden tyrant. You've got something driving you. And I just want to throw this out there, and just in case God would allow us to do it. But we do live streams every once in a while, maybe 2-3 times a year. But I would love to do a Shame Off of You live stream with you, because we have a whole different audience that watches online. And even have prayer people ready to minister. But wouldn't that be something? But praise
I would
God.
Love to.
Wow. I mean, you think about how the enemy plants those lies when we're young. My friend Maria says every one of us has a pattern of theft in our life where the enemy plants a lie, a believable lie when you're young, and then he conditions you to believe the lie by just creating more circumstances to reinforce the lie, basically. But as you said, God can get to you anytime, anywhere, and speak to you anytime, anywhere, and He will, because He was running after you, Pastor. He was getting you ready to use that greatest hurt to help the hearts of so many. I'm just in awe of that story. Praise God.
Isn't He
wow.
good?
Wow, friend. And I just think as you're hearing this today, something's quickening within you, and you're realizing you have a hidden tyrant. You've got an inner critic. And you think, if I strive and drive hard enough, that thing will shut up and I'll finally be blessed. But what if the reverse is true? What if cast that thing out and say, I'm going to live blessed because I am blessed. I'm going to start to believe what God says is true because it is true. I'm going to reject rejection. I'm going to accept acceptance. And one moment at a time, I'm going to learn to live loved. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to speak to the person who feels stuck today, who loves God, who maybe even has right theology in their head, but they feel like they've got some of that stuff like you were talking about when you read that article. Like, I love God. I'm serving God. But all is not well with me. I'm stuck, and I cannot seem to get free. I'll kind of set up that scenario on the other side of the break, but love for you, Pastor, to speak to that person. Pastor Alan Wright is my precious guest today, and his book is The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having an incredible, deep, healing conversation with our friend, Pastor Alan Wright. His book is titled The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. It's a rich resource. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Pastor, first of all, I want to say, friends, if you haven't heard our past conversations, we have sort of a tradition that I love so much every time Pastor Alan comes on. At the end of the show, he's going to speak a blessing over men and over women, and just as he feels led. It might be to someone who has a father wound or someone who's in the valley of the shadow. He'll decide that and discern that as God is leading. But don't, if you can't listen to the live show to the end, come back. Catch the podcast and listen all the way to the end. But Pastor, right now, I'd love for you to speak to the person who feels stuck. You know, maybe they're thinking, yes, God's done a lot in me. I'm not even the person I once was. But there's this core lie buried so deep, and the enemy has orchestrated so many circumstances to reinforce it. I feel like it's baked in, like I can't operate on myself. I can't do the surgery to get it out. What would you say to that person?
Yeah. Well, first, I would join with you, Susie, as you were just saying, that you probably have made more progress than you realize to whoever feels really stuck. Most of the times that I felt stuck and I feel like I'm getting nowhere, I realized later that I've made progress. And it's just sometimes that the progress is we're blinded to it because of the pain that we're experiencing. Some years ago, to anybody that follows football, there's a there's a thing in football that if you didn't understand the game, you'd go, well, that's weird. But if a running back has the ball and runs through the line and then gets clobbered about 3 yards on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and about five defenders pile up and start pushing that runner back, they may end up actually putting them on the ground 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But the referee then picks up the ball and walks 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and puts the ball down because you get what is called forward progress. So even though you get pushed back,
Wow.
it's where you got and you put the ball down. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, because I was at a time where I felt like I was getting clobbered in some ways and pushed back. And I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, no, but you got your forward progress.
Come
And I think
on.
that's the way it is in the spirit. I think it's like you've advanced and yet then some adversity, some pain. And I mean, like sometimes it feels like the world has picked you up and thrown you back down on your back, and you look up and you go, well, I'm not as far as I once was. But I think in the spirit, to some of our listeners right now, I just say you've made forward progress, and that's yours, and you don't go back from there. And so you're moving forward. You really are. But I
That
also
is
would just say
fantastic.
this: over the years of ministry, Susie, I would just say that whenever there's been a time that in my life or someone that I've wanted to help, that things feel stuck, other than first and foremost getting beyond the fact that you're not stuck because nothing's impossible to God, and that's the first thing, is overcoming that first lie. I think that the next thing is to look for if there is what we call a stronghold, and there are different definitions that people have of this, but I like what one has said. It's like a house of thoughts. And so in the spiritual battle, a stronghold means, I think, a strategic place for the enemy. So like in an ancient warfare, someone would want to have a fortress on the top of a hill where they get to hide behind a wall and shoot down at the other. And then it's like the darts that come back land against the wall and fall away, and you can't hardly see your enemy. Well, that's what a stronghold is. And when there is one that's of a deception, a hellish stronghold in our life, I think what happens, let's take the example of shame, and that was my stronghold that had to come down. If you envision like a wall, and sometimes actually at our conferences on Shame Off, we'd build a wall. We had these big blocks, and we'd just build them up, out of these cardboard blocks. And if the wall starts with maybe a statement like, I'm flawed, well, that's a true statement. I am flawed. We're all born in sin and all fallen short of the glory of God. But if after that, the next stones on top of that start building this wall, if the next stone is wrong, if it's a deception, and this was what happened to me, I thought I'm flawed and therefore I'm less loved. That is so foundational that after that, other stones get built on top of that. So for me, it was,
Wow.
I'm flawed. So therefore, the next stones on this wall, if you're laying the stones on this heavy wall, says I'm less loved. And so the next one for me said, so I need to be more. I need to be better. I need to perform better. And then you carry it up further, and the stone that gets even higher says, I need to be perfect. Well,
Wow.
the stronghold someone else faces might, look very different, but that's what mine looked like. And if I could, I'd love to, and I'll do this at a conference. I'll show a visual of this and build this wall and just go stand behind it. And once there's a stronghold, it's like the devil can whisper anything to you, because it's just like the things that we're trying to do to get at it, prayer and spiritual disciplines and lots of counseling. And I'm for all of those things, totally for all those things. But it seems like it's not working. It still feels stuck. It might be because that the stronghold has been built. And so the stronghold comes down. It's like you can't expose the enemy, and you can't you there's an unfair advantage to the enemy. And so just like to demonstrate this, I love at a conference, Susie, sometimes I'll just whisper behind that, the kinds of temptations and things that can come behind that kind of stronghold, like my stronghold, the voices that can come from hell like that. You're not enough, and you never will be enough. You just need more and more until you drive yourself in the ground. or you'll never feel better. So you might as well look for other ways to make yourself feel better. All of the kinds of voices of shame that can come. And the answer to it is not individually trying to battle against those voices through more self-discipline or even just more and more prayer, which I'm all for more and more prayer. It's got to be that the wall comes down.
Come
And
on.
so for me, that is replace the foundational lie. I don't need to try to overcome my perfectionism as much as I need to get at that foundational lie that said, because I'm flawed, I'm less loved. And so I literally like kick the wall down. And just
Come
once
on.
the less love part comes down, the whole rest of the wall comes tumbling down. And I like to
Wow.
rebuild that wall with a stronghold of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because here's the kind of stronghold God wants, is one that's built on truth upon truth upon truth. So yes, I am flawed, but the next stones go not on less love, but I'm so loved. I'm so loved. God so loved the world that he gave. Because while we were still in our sin, Christ died for the ungodly. It's the foundational lie I had to get to. And I just think for our listeners, ask God's help, ask others' help, get to that foundational lie. If the beginning point is I'm flawed, what's the next statement that you fill in the blank on top of that? Because there could be a stronghold that's there. And sometimes that's what makes us feel stuck. And I'll tell you one thing, when that wall comes tumbling down, when I no longer believe I'm less loved because I'm flawed, but I'm so loved despite my flaws, well, all the other things that can pile up on top of it, they have no place to stand, no foundation left. And I think this is the pathway to freedom. So if any of our listeners feel stuck at this moment, part of my blessing for you is A, you're not stuck, and B, you can, by the light of Jesus Christ and by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you can discover where that foundational lie is and renounce it and replace it with the truth of God. And you might be surprised at how, well, a lot of besetting temptation, sin, and other matters of our life that seem to be holding us back suddenly melt away.
Wow. Who needed to hear that today? And just such wisdom to say, Lord, show me the foundational lie. What's the core foundational lie? Because if you can kick that out, it's like Jenga. You pull out the one
It
that
is. It's
topples the
exactly
rest of
right.
it.
We're
Wow,
trying
that.
too often to deal with the stones at the top of the wall,
Yeah,
and let's
yeah.
get to the foundation of it. Kick out
Come
the
on.
foundation. Yeah.
Wow, that is so powerful. Wow. Would you say, Pastor, that we all have some core beliefs that don't line up with Scripture, that, there's things buried deep in us that maybe we don't think about, talk about, but they actually show up in how we live? Do you know what I'm saying? Where
Yes.
maybe others
Yes.
might be able to see them, but I mean, really, is anybody walking in the fullness of all truth, or would you say it's more common than not that all of us have a few lies that we need to disentangle from?
All of us have lives that we are still entangled with, and we don't know it. That's what's diabolical. That's what I used to say to people, it's like the reason we believe a lie is we think it's true. And until you know it's not true and you see the truth, you wouldn't even think it's a lie. It just is normal to you. It's just normal. And that's the thing. It's like things that just seem normal. So this is why we are what real repentance is. It's not some bony finger in our face telling us we ought to try harder to change and be more moral. No, repentance means change your mind. It means change your way of thinking. And so in that sense, I'm in a constant state of repentance because I think until we are perfected and we're with Jesus in eternity, we don't have all of it healed. And so that's the process of spiritual growth. And we all have it.
Amen. I remember as a young woman, very young and so insecure, and people would say, "Golly, you're so kind and you're so talented. Like, why are you so insecure?" Like they were trying to balance out the insecurity with whatever other virtues or gifts I had, but it was like that didn't work because it was like you don't balance that out. You had to uproot that thing. And I remember the Lord whispering, and I was still a young believer, but he's like, "Susie, as bad as you think you are, You're actually worse than that. But Jesus died for you. And it set me free, Pastor. I'm telling you, it was like, that's what I needed to hear. All the compliments were like falling right off of me. But it was like, when I heard that truth and it pierced me in the deepest place, I knew it was true. You know, you don't even see half of it, but Jesus knew all of it. And he still went to the cross for you. And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
It really is. And I think one of the big revolutions in my life with God was just realizing that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the correction of the Holy Spirit, is not a thing to be dreaded. It Exactly. is an absolutely marvelous gift. The Holy Spirit's the greatest teacher in the world. He is the greatest teacher in the world. And whatever, if you imagine whatever it is you'd like to be better at, you know, I love golf and always trying to, it's a hard game, trying to get better at it. And, I remember years and years ago seeing, some article that said at the time, the leading player in the world was a guy named Greg Norman. And he would do these corporate outings and he'd, you know, go spend the day with some business leaders and his fee was $200,000. And that was many years ago. And I thought these guys, and I just thought, you know, what if you could afford to buy a day with Greg Norman? Or what if it had been Tiger Woods in his heyday? You know, it might have cost you $1 million. And you say, okay, you're going to be my personal coach for the day. And I step up there and I get ready to take a swing. And he says, all right, well, let me take a look at how you're standing and take a look at how you're holding the club. And I line up and he says, all right, well, let me show you, let's change the way your hands are on the grip here a little bit. We need to put it in a little different. Can you imagine? I've spent $1 million for a personal coach to then say, don't tell me how to hold the golf club, you know, or it hurt my feelings or feeling. No, if you've got the greatest teacher in the world, what do? You eagerly want every insight.
That's right.
Everything that I'm not doing well, I want to know how to do it better. Everything that's holding me back, I'd like to see the better way. So the only reason anybody would fear the teaching, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be that we have misunderstood and don't understand, as we talked about at the top of the show. He's our advocate. He is our friend. He's not our foe. He is here. He is, as Jesus called him, the helper. So change is, and learning is, the great joy of life, whether it's my little grandbaby who is a year and a half and learning to say words together now and is delighted by every new thing she learns, or whether it's us learning how to walk in the way of Christ, whatever it might be. So just open, you know, your heart to everything that God would show you. He's not going to condemn. The Son of Man did not come to condemn, but to save. And I like to think of it like that, Susie, because that makes me more open to say, okay, show me, God. I really want to know. He just put his arm around you, walk with you, and show you a better way.
Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Pastor Allen's going to speak a blessing over men and over women. And then I want to give you time to do that first, and whatever time we have left, then I've got a few more questions for you. Such a good conversation. Don't go away, friends. More with Pastor Allen Wright in just a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I've got a question for you. Do you have a deep desire buried in your heart that you've tucked away and haven't thought about for a long time? I'm daring you to bring it up again. Bring it before the Lord. Put it on the forefront of your mind. Start to pray about it. Talk to a friend about it. Search Scripture because of it. God delights in every detail of your life, and He truly wants to fulfill some of the deepest desires of your heart. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We've been having such a rich conversation with Pastor Allen Wright. In fact, this is going to be one after the live show. You're going to want to not only be a radio missionary and share it with as many friends as you can, because everyone needs a blessing, but maybe go back again and sit down with a journal and take some notes, because God wants us to live loved and live blessed. Really, it changes how we show up. It changes how we view people when we change how we view ourselves and how we view God. So, Pastor, I'm just going to hand the mic to you now, and you can start with guys or gals, but I'd just love for you to do what we always do when you join us, is to speak a blessing over our men and women today.
Such an honor to do that, and to First, the men. It's a thing that is so vital to our sense of manhood that we, from the time we were little, we wanted to be strong, and we wanted to be able to win. We wanted to be able to be victorious, and I want to bless that masculine soul that you were made for that. And so it's not wrong that you want to be in that way. And so now, maybe as we were talking about at the top of the show, that there's a battle that's going on. And I first just bless you in this. But my brothers, I bless you in this. You're the spiritual battle you face, and even the setbacks and the times you feel knocked down, and the moments in which you have felt discouraged because of this battle, and you so wish you didn't have this battle. I want to just say to you that this battle is not a mark of loss of God's favor or an indication that you're out of the promises and the will of God. It probably means that you're in the middle of it. And that just like the people of God who took step by step in Canaan, first at Jericho, where they had an amazing triumph, but it took some extraordinary faith of walking around, and then battle upon battle, even the pesky Philistines who keep coming after them, and you have those same kind of pesky spiritual battles. I'm blessing you in the middle of that battle, that you are made to be more than a conqueror. And I think the Lord would have me say to you, like the people of God, get ready to cross the Jordan into that land. Every place you step your foot, I bless, just as God blessed Joshua, that you'd be able to stand up against the foe. And every place you step your foot being given to you, and to hear the word that was given to Joshua as I was with Moses, the Lord said, so I'll be with you. Hear this down deep. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you in this battle. And he said to Joshua, and you will lead people to inherit the land. And I just feel to bless you, men, in that you are leading somebody. It might be leading in a home. It might be leading in a workplace. It might be leading a friend that you've built a relationship with. And I bless you to lead them into their inheritance, to lead them into the grace of God, lead them into the glories of God's grace. My brothers, you are God's beloved sons, and I just see you in the full armor, and you are not going to be defeated. You've got progress you've made, and you've made forward progress, and sometimes it feels like only a few yards at a time. But just a lot of ways to get across the end zone line. And sometimes it's just 3 yards at a time. And every now and then there's some big bomb that's passed and you catch it and it's glorious. But walk in the strength and the assurance and the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you, warriors of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Got about a minute and a half for our dear women, so I'll let you go here. Go ahead.
Women, there is a blessing in Jeremiah in which the Lord says, I'll restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings, and the city will be rebuilt on ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. And I just kept getting this image of blessing you with this word that the city will be rebuilt on its ruins. Just like they would in ancient times, be a place where there were some ruins, a former city had stood there, and some knight new would come, and they say, this is the best place to build the new city, on this hilltop, where now there's strategic advantage on a city on a hill. And what once were ruins become now a higher place, a more beautiful place, a place of greater strength and authority in the spirit. And
Yes, Lord.
so whatever has felt like ruins, I bless the capacity of God to transform it all. He redeems everything, and he's not forgotten it, and it's not wasted. I think you go to a higher pinnacle. You'll be like a city rebuilt on a ruins.
Praise God. Pastor, we look forward to our next conversation. Lord willing, we'll get you on in about the next month or so. I've got half my pages of notes still we haven't even touched. So our conversations are always so rich. And again, I'm praying God redeems the time that you gave to us today. Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful time.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you.
I always appreciate it so much. God loves you, dear one. I pray you found some encouragement here today. And I pray that if you were distracted at all or doing something else while Pastor was speaking a blessing over you, that you'll come back once the live show goes up to podcast and sit down and receive it and believe it and walk in it. We love and appreciate you so much. We look forward to meeting back here again next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.